Yeah, I'm grateful. I'm excited. I'm here to work. I'm here to win games with the Chicago Bears and win games for the Chicago Bears. And I've just been in here working, growing the bond and trust and belief between the coaches and my teammates, offense, defense, special teams. It doesn't matter. We're all one. And we're heading on the right trend, I would say. But we got to keep going and keep growing.
Caleb Williams on Fox Chicago. Time now to talk some football with Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Best Football Show with Brian Baldinger. He is on Twitter at BaldyNFL and joins us not only on twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score, but the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Baldy, what's up?
Well, good afternoon, guys. I mean, we're in the countdown, right? We're in the countdown. I'm heading to Brazil next Tuesday. Get ready for that showdown with Green Bay and Philadelphia. So we're in the countdown here to kick off, man. I'm excited.
Did you ask for the trip to Brazil or was it just presented to you?
I asked.
Why did you ask?
I've been going out of Brazil since 1986. I went down for Carnival with my brother. Been down with a bunch of friends over the years, some guys that live there. I just wanted to get down there. I wanted to see what this scene is going to look like because I've been down there for World Cup games. I've been down there for Pro Beach Volleyball Championships. But I can't imagine anything really bigger than what this game is going to be like down there.
Do you speak Portuguese?
Falo Portuguese, just a piquito.
You must have some peeps down there. I'm picturing you get to the airport, like a bunch of black SUVs pull up.
I got the son of the chief of police coming. Ronaldo Santos, absolutely. He'll be there to pick me up.
Let's go.
That is awesome. They had joked with Cairo Santos, the kicker for the Bears, because he's from Brazil, about him maybe trying to get down there to see the game. But he said, it's too close. Like the margin of error is too extreme for him to be able to get back and kick on time. But I think it's a really cool thing that the NFL is doing by expanding. And I love that it's in a place that you wouldn't expect.
I was blown away when it came down. I mean, I was shocked and surprised that they would go there. Not because they can't handle or whatever. It's just a lot of logistics. In fact, I think they've changed the whole, I used to go down there. You'd always needed a visa to get into Brazil. Well, they've waived all that now. So I think fans can just go down, and I think they've taken the visa thing away for like a year. That's what's been explained to me. So they're kind of opening it up here for fans, but I remember throwing footballs, with kids down in Copacabana Beach. They didn't really know what it was, but they loved it. And the fan base has grown steadily, not just there, all over the world. So they're trying to, globalize the sport, and I think that's a good thing.
I do too. Man, now I kind of just want to go with you to Carnival. Like that seems like a lot of fun. All right, so back to the business of football here in the United States. You lock yourself in a room. You watch a whole bunch of tape. When you watch the tape of Caleb Williams in the preseason, what have you seen?
I see a guy that sees the field really well. I see a guy that plays really loose. A guy that has tremendous confidence in his ability. The big throw to Roma Dunze in that last game that he played was an amazing throw to get out of escape the pocket, going to his left, dropping it, right where he did. I mean, he's just got a tremendous amount of talent, and you see it. You see it on the field. But I've been around Caleb. When going back to his high school days, I mean, he was working out with the quarterback collective, and I was doing stuff. And, I put him in a film room when he was in Gonzaga High School when he was 17, and he knew exactly how to attack cover three, what's the best route combination against quarters. You could put Mahomes tape on. You could put all these guys out there. Like, he knew what he was looking at when he was 17. And then when you saw his arm when he was 17, he had an NFL arm when he was that young. And I think he's just continue to grow under Lincoln Riley, and I think he'll do it under, Shane Waldron now.
Why? Why would that be a good bet that he'll continue under Shane Waldron?
Well, because I think he wants to be good. Sometimes the coaching, look, it's important. It's really important. That play caller quarterback relationship is vital. But regardless, I think Caleb wants to be great. Like, I think he thinks about it. I think he would be the most disappointed person on the planet if he didn't become great. So I think it's not that he's destined to do it. I think he's willing to put all the work into doing it. He understands how to lead. He understands how to bridge the offense and the defense in the different position groups. And like, he's always done that. He's always been beloved by his teammates. And I think he's going to just keep getting better and better. Whatever mistakes he makes is all part of the learning process. But I think it's going to be a pretty sharp learning curve.
How do you feel like defenses will initially attack him?
Well, I think, you know, every team has their own personality of how they blitz. I mean, Steve Spagnuolo is different than Vic Fangio. You know, they're going to see Tennessee week one. It's a new staff, new way of doing things. I would imagine that you're going to do your weak side overloads, try to get a free hitter, break your protections down like most teams do, and attack it. You know, they're going to see Houston. D'Amico Ryans has got a great, you know, front four. Like, they're eight deep on the defense line. Maybe they don't feel like they have to blitz. Maybe they feel like they can just keep them in the pocket. But I would imagine, you know, most teams are going to try to contain him and not get out of the pocket the way he did at Oklahoma, USC, what we saw in the preseason.
We've been talking about depth on the lines for the Bears and or lack thereof. And I keep having to remind myself that the way front sevens are being deployed now isn't just starters and backups in the conventional sense, that there's so much rotation. There are so many players in not just sub packages that anybody active there is going to play. And it is a way to keep people both healthy and happy and involved and make sure that how does Matt Eberflus put it, always being able to throw your fastball. So is the concept of depth sometimes misunderstood in that regard?
Well, I don't think it's misunderstood, but if you look at all these teams that are consistent winners right now in this business, there's two things they have in common. Well, there's three things they have in common. They have a great quarterback. They have unbelievable depth on the defensive line and wave guys through. And then they have a solid offensive line with some experienced veterans. And so, look, they just made a trade for Daryl Taylor. I mean, Daryl Taylor came out of Tennessee. I mean, he was a second-round pick. He's got power. He hasn't put up huge numbers, but he's a solid player. Like, he's exactly what the Bears need at that position. Now, maybe the rookie, you know, maybe Austin Booker comes on. We'll see. But it's a lot to ask any rookie in that spot to make a big impact. It's just, the game is just so different than what he played in the Big 12. So, but, you know, I mean, he's got talent, he's got size. We'll see how he develops. But, I mean, you look at what they've done, whether it's trading for Montez Sweat last year or Daryl Taylor, what they've done at defensive tackle, they're addressing the depth on their defensive line.
They're addressing it, but I am curious what you think of Jervon Dexter. And the reason that I ask is that he's making a transition from two gap to one gap. He's lost some weight and he's already 6'6", 6'7". How difficult is that to maintain pad level when you're that tall playing that position?
Well, it's essential. It's absolutely essential. So pad level is everything at that position. I mean, if you get your pads up, you're going to get drilled on combo blocks and cutoffs, and you're going up against a great center like Creed Humphrey or somebody. I mean, they're going to walk you down the line. Like, you're going to charge you an Uber fare, you know, but so you better keep your pads down. It's critical.
You mentioned it going up against a great center. The Bears don't have that. And I don't know how important the center position is to this particular regime, because they went out and got a couple of decent representative, probably slightly above replacement level centers. Is that okay, or should they work harder at finding somebody who's a plus-plus player there?
Well, I mean, Coleman Shelton has played at a pretty high level in this league. I mean, I'm pretty sure he was on the Rams offensive line when they won a Super Bowl. Maybe I'm wrong. But, I mean, they had a competition with Bates and Shelton this summer. It looks like Shelton won the job. But you're only as good up front on your offensive line as your center. If you have an average center or weak center, you're going to get collapsed in both the run game and certainly in protection. It's critical. So I've talked to both those guys when I was at the Hall of Fame game. I think they understand it's not just calling out protections and you're with a rookie quarterback. We've seen so many bad snaps in the preseason. It starts with the snap. You can't afford that. You can't afford to turn the ball over on a bad snap. So that's that. I mean, Coleman's a left-handed kid. You don't see a lot of left-handed centers, although Creed Humphrey to me, is the best center in the league right now. He's left-handed. I don't think it makes much difference. I mean, it's just something the quarterback has to get used to. I'm sure Caleb has no issues with it. But you're only going to be as strong up front as your center.
You brought up the idea of working with a young quarterback. With that particular relationship, center-quarterback and center-young quarterback, what's important? What's key?
Well, the play starts with the snap. So, I remember when Ryan Jensen was in Tampa and Tom Brady came. And Ryan literally got a half-hour dissertation on the snap every day from Tom Brady, whether it was a wet ball, whether it was goal line and you're stepping hard to your right, or whether it's shotgun, or, whether you're in pistol. Like, all these things matter. Where he likes the ball, where he wants the laces. Like, there's so many little intricate things. Now, look, calling out the mic is not a difficult thing to do, but when teams are stemming late, okay? I mean, I don't know why more teams don't do it, to be honest with you. As an offensive lineman, we hated it. When a defense was moving at the snap, it changed our rules. But the center has to handle all of that. Anytime there's a miscommunication up front, the play usually dies. And it's really up to the center to communicate all of that to everybody, including the tight ends, the quarterback, the back's got to know it. And so your defensive coordinator is breaking the center down first, because he's going to tell you what the protection generally is. And so all those things are critical to a young quarterback.
How does Caleb Williams look to you merely, purely from the pocket?
He looks fine. Okay. I mean, I think he's comfortable right there in being able to go through progressions or understanding where the ball needs to go. I mean, I think the big thing, right, honestly, for Caleb right now, and I've only talked to him briefly about this. I'm not going to give you an in-depth dissertation, but, he never had to call the running game at USC. I mean, Lincoln did almost everything from the sideline. So, the quarterbacks in this league right now, I mean, I don't know, if it's 3rd and 5 and you got 2 plays called and, you might have a run up, like, okay, are you reading the box correctly? Because the numbers are going to dictate whether you're throwing it or running it and what kind of run you do. And so just getting used to those things at the line of scrimmage it's not easy. You're going to see a million looks in college, in the Pac-12, whatever. I mean, and especially when he was at Oklahoma, I mean, they all play the exact same defense in the Big 12. So, like, you kind of see exactly what you're going to see, like, almost every game. This is going to be vastly different right now. So that's something that he's got to, that takes a little bit of time.
Yeah, I'm worrying about that, too. And, I expect every rookie, just because of the history of the league, to struggle some, Baldy. I just want to know, like, what's fair to expect, because the things you say about Caleb are true. And this guy seems like he's been preparing to be a professional quarterback since he was 10, 11 years old. What things can he expect to run into that he might have to deal with and learn how to correct?
Well, I mean, the windows that he's throwing into are smaller than he's ever thrown. You could put the 3 receivers that they have. It's a talented group. But, you're going to get Keenan Allen against their best slot defender, week 1 against Tennessee. And Houston certainly has a number of players they play there. And maybe the play is for Keenan. And maybe he wins by a step. Well, you got to put the ball where only Keenan can get it. Like, and if you're doing some of the things that we saw in preseason, which they're splash plays, and Mahomes gets away with it, and Josh Allen gets away with it. But it also, you're making these throws on the move. I mean, it's not like they're all standing still there. They're all moving. And then there's things that you're not going to see. You're just not going to see certain players come into your view. And so dealing with that, dealing with the speed of the defenses and the disguise defenses, there's a lot of defenses in this league. You don't know what they're in until the ball is snapped. And so all those things are critical, and you have to make those decisions in 2 seconds. So, I would think that that's going to be part of the struggle, is just knowing what he's looking at and understanding that whatever window he's thrown into, and we're just using that term loosely, but like it's not going to be open very long if you hesitate or if you don't put the ball where only your receiver can get it.
Brian, I want to ask you something that your colleague at NFL Network told us. Cynthia Freeland was on our show talking about some of the analysis that she's been doing. And she said that despite the remaining immense popularity of inside and outside zone run scheme, that there are more teams that are going back to some gap-based stuff, some ISO and some duo. Are you seeing that too?
Well, that's, I mean, the good teams have always had that. I mean, San Francisco, they run a lot of things off their outside zone, but they run a wineback play. They're a two-back offense. They got a fullback. They've got ISO lead. I mean, they basically run five plays, but it's from a variety of formations and motions and shifts. But, you know, the good teams run power. Kansas City is a big power team. You know, just watch Trey Smith go play, the right guard. He's their pulling guard. I mean, he's excellent, whether it's traps or power. I think you got to make linebackers play the run. You know, I mean, you got to test them. And so you got to punch them right in the mouth with 330-pound guards. And so the good teams have far more than just your mid-zone, outside zone, you know, inside zone plays. They mix it up pretty good.
And the reason I think about it is now that there are so many teams that don't even list a strong side linebacker anymore, that the nickel guy is a starter. And, you know, there's some old school football people who said, hell, you're going to do that. You're going to take the strong side linebacker off the field. You're going to in for a long day because we're going to just pound it at you. And I don't know if the modern game lets you do that enough.
Well, I mean, all you got to do is go back and watch Green Bay and Dallas in the playoffs and watch Green Bay run the ball down their throats with Marquise Bell at the weak side linebacker position. I mean, they just attacked them over and over again, and they were helpless. So, I mean, a lot of teams are going to that dime defense, get an extra defensive back to handle some of the passing game issues. Philadelphia will play they'll play three safeties this year. There's teams that do. But, you know, if you're going to line up like that, it'd be a good idea if you try to make them pay and run them out of that look.
All right, so back to Brazil. How early are you going to get there, and what's the first thing you're doing when you get off the
plane?
He's
moving into his mountain lair where he's plotting his revenge with his.
Well, I mean, look, the game's in Sao Paulo, but, you know, you can't go to Brazil and not go to Rio. You know, I mean, you just can't, you know, you can't, you got to go to Copacabana Beach. You got to go to a great churrascarias, you know, Mario's in Copacabana is excellent. Like, you got to eat your meat. I'm a carnivore. So, you know, you got to go play in the waves there. You know, you got to go see the scenery out there in Copacabana or Ipanema. So, I mean, I'm getting off the plane at 6 a.m. I'll be on the beach at 7, I'm sure. I'm sure I'll have a big chunk of meat by noon, you know, and eventually I'll get to Sao Paulo and do the things that I'm responsible to do.
Baldy, have a wonderful time, man. I can't wait to see what you tweet and what you share from this trip. This is going to be awesome.
There's going to be a lot of talent there. I'm going to show you the talent, you know, on the field, off the field. It's good. It's easy on the eyes. I'm excited.
I'm excited for you. And I think the score listener is too. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. You bet. Anytime.